saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, welcome to an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects. Hopefully you guys are ready to get the weekend party started with us as we take you for the next 3 hours. It's Barry, Nick, it's myself as we look to entertain the hell out of you until 4 o'clock. After that, you're on your own.
That's right. If you got some hell in you, we're going to entertain it out.
Praise.
All of it. Amen.
Preach.
I am headed to Austin after the show.
We'll drive safely.
No BSing today, fellas.
Yeah, you know what?
Got to have a fun show. Got to get this show on the road. It's not supposed to rain tonight, is it?
The low pressure system that I saw is hanging out in the Gulf of Mexico.
It always seems like when I drive to Austin, it rains.
No, you'll have some humidity sleeping into the forecast for tomorrow, but basically no rain until at least Tuesday of next week with a 20% chance.
Actually, it says Friday at 4 p.m., 85% chance of rain.
Tonight? Yes. No way. The last forecast I saw, no rain because I was going to wash the car. No rain until next week, Tuesday or Thursday.
Weather.com, 215, 25% chance. 3
here
o'clock, 60. 4 o'clock, 85. What? 5 o'clock, 65. So it looks like some showers on the drive home. That sucks.
Damn. I mean, I wished for it, but give me 5 minutes for it to settle in.
Yeah, really. Boy, last night I was scatterbrained trying to watch everything.
Were you? I was flipping channels left and right, and I mean, Astros, first of all, I don't think anybody realized there was a basketball game on last night.
I flipped to it like twice, and I was like, this is like eating glue right now.
It was
just
awful.
Like, whatever.
I actually didn't flip over till the final press conference to find out who won.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Mike Malone's press conference, and then I was trying to go back and see the highlights of what he was talking about. But that was I was just drafting Astros. The pitcher's
same
duel was fantastic.
Same. Yeah, it really was. It was a good it was a good time last night, flipping channels, not worrying about much. So let's get to it. You okay with Titus Howard at 23?
Not really.
I hope they stretched, because I would hate for them to pull something reaching with that pick.
That, and when you see the guy that went before you and you go, well, there's your franchise tackle. And I think that you probably had everybody in that room licking their chops, rubbing their hands together, going, our guy's going to fall right in our lap. We don't have to do a thing. And then, oh, the Philadelphia Eagles have made a trade, and boom, there you go.
What I don't understand is why Juwan Taylor wasn't drafted yet.
Oh, there's an issue. And we're going to have Lance what on at 2:30. First, Lance knew something that he wouldn't say on the air this morning with the guys. But then when I was I heard that take a Taylor to school, so I started delving into it a little bit. So, someone's saying a knee injury.
Is that what it is?
That there might be a knee issue.
Because I, for the life of me, thought, okay, you see Philly posturing. They jump up. They grab Andre Dillard. You're like, all right, good move. Very Bridgewater-esque. When that happened in the draft a few years ago. So you're like, okay, hats off to Philly, jumping up and getting their franchise tackle, possibly. But then I was like, all right, well, it's got to be Juwan Taylor, because I can't believe he fell to 23 with everybody else. I mean, you know, everybody, there were certain teams, obviously, that needed O-line help. And you thought that, okay, you're probably not going to get a Taylor or a Dillard or maybe even a Jonah Williams.
Right.
You might get a Cody Ford. You might get a Greg Little. That would be good with any of those. Those were all top five offensive tackles, according to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, So I was curious as to why Juwan Taylor fell that far and then didn't get taken at all in the first round.
I'm hearing it's a knee. But regardless of
Lance said it was a knee, too. He just doesn't know the extent of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and he knows that, like, almost all the teams backed out of that, basically, in the first round. And that's the reason why it's a massive red flag. So he'll come on and explain it himself. That's what he said.
Because that would be why I would be livid if I was a Texans fan, that instead of going with Juwan Taylor, they went with Tytus Howard. So that makes me feel a little better that there were some injury concerns, and that's the reason that they chose not to. But wow, Cody Ford, you don't draft Cody Ford.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. There were three legitimate options that were basically by all accounts first round draft picks.
Yep,
and yet they draft. I went wait, Alabama, right? Not Alabama State. Then I went, oh no. Tight end and quarterback that turned into a lineman. Oh, good. A project in the first round when you desperately need offensive line help.
And when you hear some people saying that a guy like Cody Ford, who was available, who can play both tackle and guard. So, and I think that was what attracted the Texans somewhat to Tytus Howard. And you'll hear Brian Gain. We'll have some audio from him in a second. But you'll hear Brian Gain talk about hey, let's just do it. I don't need to explain it. Let's let Brian Gain tell you why they drafted Tytus Howard with a 23rd pick in the first round.
You just think back to the fall season, how he played during the fall. Had starts both on the left side and the right side. Goes to the Senior Bowl and plays well. Goes to the best All-Star game in the business and played very well. Started that game. In fact, he started that game. Goes to the combine and excels. Did very well in the interview process. The private workout settings that we had with him, the pro day settings, I felt like with each interval, he was able to pass each segment with flying colors, made a very favorable impression in terms of the intangible profile, the person, the character, matched with the physical ability and the physical traits.
Shout out to Cody Stutes for getting us that audio, by the way. But one of the things that I saw last night on Twitter immediately after the pick was Pat DeStat on Twitter said that Tytus Howard was interviewed by 24 teams. So that's a good thing. Teams actually showed interest in him. I don't think anyone didn't doubt that Tytus Howard wasn't going to be drafted. Every grade that I went back and looked at, because he wasn't even on the radar for a first round pick. That's why I was like, who? This was a second to third round
Lance
pick.
Lance had a mid bottom to upper of the second round.
Bottom of the second or somewhere at the top of the third round. So you're like, okay, you could have got this guy later. Like, what was the urgency of getting him now? And then I think that part of that had to do with flexibility, but Brian Gain talked about how he fits with the Texans.
We see Tytus Howard as an offensive lineman. So we'll start the best five, however it works out. He'll have a chance to compete for a starting job, come in and earn what he gets. But the fact of the matter is Tytus has been a starting caliber player at right tackle and left tackle. He's played both positions, so however it works out, we'll see. It remains to be seen. We also think he could play guard. We believe he's a four-hole player, prototypical guy, has all the height, weight, speed, the measurables that we like. He's got the makeup, the intangible profile. That's excellent.
They're talking about him by mid-season possibly working his way into a starting role.
I tell you what, for a first-round draft pick?
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
That's not good. Like, you really reached for that if that's the case. If this guy isn't starting day one, what were you doing? What was the thought process on that?
I think they just don't want to commit to the fact that they're going to start him. Because Lance even said he thinks there's a 75% chance that he'll end up starting.
Right from the get-go?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said there's a 75% chance.
You've got...
I heard him this morning, they were kicking around the idea of maybe by mid-season, but you look at it too, and again, I go back to this. I got to believe that they did not see the Philadelphia trade coming with Baltimore to get into that spot.
Let me ask you this. I agree with you. I think that blindsided them, and they thought that they were going to have
their guy.
Dillard
was going to be their guy.
But you have to know, okay, this is our list, and if this guy goes, if this guy goes, this is our next choice. But let me, and I would be curious what Lance says to this, but I want your thoughts. What's the difference in drafting Juwan Taylor if you know you're going to have to wait half a season and drafting a guy that you took way too early and you know you're going to have to wait half a season? Once they're both healthy, once they're both equal as far as ready to play, Juwan Taylor is a better offensive tackle.
Played in the SEC, so he played against top competition.
Because they talked about Titus Howard and how he struggled a little bit during some of this path to the draft with better competition.
Played well against like Auburn, but then there were other competition that wasn't Auburn caliber that he didn't play as
well.
If
you knew you were going to have to wait for the guy, why not just wait on Juwan Taylor?
Yeah, it's a good point. And here's the other thing. If you look at the other team in your division that knew that they were going to get a guy, they got a guy that had top five talent that has getting over an ACL on the defensive side of the football, and they decided to – Tennessee did. They decided to take the guy and wait it out, but they already know going in he's injured. But when he's healthy, and it was an ACL, that he's a top five talent that could be one of the best talents in this entire draft when all is said and done. You're not saying the same thing about Titus Howard.
Yeah, and I mean, just the names that – I don't know. I mean, you see a Greg Little that was out there.
Yes. No one took – did anybody take him?
No.
He's still out there in the second round. Well, now, see, here's the thing. They would impress me if they would move up and do something to move up to, or at least make sure that they get a guy like that in the second round.
Well, because you think that the Panthers might go and grab a lineman, an offensive tackle. The Vikings are in the market. The Chargers are in the market. There are some other teams that could be looking to add. I mean, this mock that I saw last night after all of a sudden done late had Juwan Taylor going for the first pick in the second round to the Cardinals. So you're like, okay, what's really the difference? What are we really talking about? What's the longer term? You're very short-sighted if you let Juwan Taylor go 33rd instead of 23rd because of a knee injury. That's only 10 slots. If this dude fell to the third or the fourth round because of his knee, then that makes sense. But 10 slots? And you're going to have to wait on either one of them for half a season or more? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then now you've got to worry, do you package 53 and or 54 and 55 and move up because of the teams that I just named to you, like the Vikings? Cody Ford might be gone. The Panthers, Greg Little might be gone. I mean, there's you might be missing out on all these guys because you chose to reach for a guy that you could have got at 55 or 54.
I think it's a new adjective in the draft, but you Gettleman. I mean, you took a guy too early that you could have gotten later with other choices on the board.
I like Walter Football because they give grades, right? Mm-hmm. And they were, and I even told you yesterday when we talked about how the guys do predicting. Walter Football was up there as one of the highest as far as predicting the draft. When he does his grades, he'll do A+, B-, but for his F grade, this is what it's called. The Mayock malfunction, Farmer fail, Grigson gaff, Serato suckage, Balky blooper, Chip tragedy, King calamity, and Sashi suffering succotash. Instead of just an F, he names all the GMs that have blown it. If you noticed, he added Mike Mayock to the
list. He did.
A Mayock malfunction. And that's what he gave the Texans for their pick, an F.
Did he?
And I think it's rightfully earned.
Okay.
I do. I think that they reach now.
He may turn into, because someone compared him to Dwayne Brown and said that he's going to develop into the same kind of player. But Dwayne Brown played in a big-time conference, Virginia Tech, right?
No one said when Dwayne Brown was drafted that he has potential to learn the game. What? That's your first-round pick, a guy that needs to learn the game.
Or we really look forward to working with him with our nutrition staff and our strength and conditioning folks.
The 23rd best player on the planet is going to have time to learn the game. I think you failed on that. Now, does that mean he's not going to be a great offensive tackle one day? No, that doesn't mean that. I mean, just like, you know, people were upset when they took J.J. Watt around this time. Like, what? You could have had this, that, and the other. Okay, I get it.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is I feel like there were better graded offensive tackles on the board.
Well,
if you're going to take a chance, take a chance on the best offensive lineman in the draft with a bum knee. As opposed to a guy that he just may be a bum.
Yeah, to your point, even if they were waiting on Dillard, thought he was going to fall into their lap, on your draft board, in your war room, you've got a list of, like you said, either by position or best player availables, and you know that, hey, in the first round, these are the only players that are worthy of a first-round grade. And if we lose this guy or that guy, as long as we can get one of our guys that's worthy of a first-round grade, based on the qualifications you're talking about, then you get one of those guys, then you feel good. But when you do it, and even the common fan base, and everybody's going, who? Wait, and he played where?
Yeah.
And where was he on my mock drafts? I don't see him.
Because they were like, Titus Howard, Alabama. I was like, Alabama, stay.
See, I did the same thing.
Stay.
Yeah.
What?
Oh. I think Holly had him in her top 20, but for offensive line. according to AJ's stats. I don't know. But that's one thing where at least you go on a depth chart for drafts and you go, where was this guy? Where did I not hear anything about him?
As a sports talk radio guy, I look at that and scratch my head. As a fan, I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm kind of pissed. Like, what were you, are you trying to be, I think you might have got too cute. I think you might have gotten too cute. If you were drafting in the first 16 picks and didn't want to take Juwan Taylor because you were nervous that he might get injured or whatever.
Or he was injured.
That's fine. But you're in the last half of the first round. It's 10 picks if he goes with the Cardinals at 33. Is it that much of a risk as opposed to a guy who didn't even play good competition that struggled when he did in the Senior Bowl?
You really hope it's not the case, but I really think he got duped. I think he got duped thinking, this is going to fall right. This is falling right in my lap.
If you guys in 5 years tweet at me and say you were so wrong about this, I'll be glad to eat this crow. I'll be glad to say, yeah, I was. But, boy, you know the first name that popped into my head? Xavier Suofilo.
Yeah, I did too. Same thing. Yeah, top of the second round, same kind of deal. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just getting started. It's an FYF Friday. F is also for funny, as you know. That means we got a comedian of the week. We're going to tell you all about him next and also run some clips. 115, 215, and 315 right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Like you just heard, my name is Nathaniel Amador. I am half white and half Mexican. Yeah, no, it's not exciting. It's just like that. If it's like anything, it's like being a gluten-free tortilla. Like, it's like being a burrito from Chipotle, right? Like, white people think you're Mexican, but Mexicans know you were made by a white woman. Half my family voted for Donald Trump. The other half had their bags packed. I said, hey, Grandma, we're not going to be able to see family in Mexico anymore. She said, that's why I voted for him. Don't want to see him. What do you call a Mexican that voted for Donald Trump? Homesick.
You heard the man. That's our comedian of the week, Nathaniel Amador. Barry, give us a little backstory, won't you?
Yeah, Nathaniel's one of those guys that I've watched come up over the years. And he's a bit of a newer comic, but every year he gets better. Every year he gets more polished. And that was kind of the point of what we do on FYF Friday is I wanted to feature comedians that you guys haven't heard of that maybe should be on your radar. And he's certainly worthy of that. He books a lot of shows around town. And every time I see him, he gets better. His writing gets better. Delivery gets better. He's one of those up and comers. So keep an eye out for him, man. He's very funny.
There you go. All right, so we'll have other clips from him. 215, 315.
Doing a show with him this Saturday, in fact. That's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and feature him because he puts me on shows. He stays busy, man. He's a hustler. So we're at Shamrocks in Humble this Saturday. I think it starts at 8 o'clock. So you want to come check it out? Come check it out.
There you go. We were talking Texans before the break, and Nick stumbled upon some audio from the war room when Brian Gain actually called Titus Howard
nice.
To let him know what was going on.
Guys and gals, our whole goal this offseason was to do everything we could to help protect our quarterback. At every step of the process, this guy passed the test. Film, Senior Bowl, Combine, the private workout, the 30 visit, and he passed it with flying colors. These are the types of players we want on our football team. This is how we're going to build a champion, all right? Titus, this is Brian Gain, GM of the Houston Texans. We're going to take you with this pick, all right? Congratulations, Titus.
He's a man of very few words, too, by the way.
Who's that?
Brian Gain. Titus, we're going to take you with this pick, all right?
He's got a very Gruden sound to him.
A little Gruden, a little Mike McCarthy, that short kind of staccato about the kind of people we want on our football team. Titus, Brian Gain, GM of the Houston Texans.
Something else stood out to me. See if you catch it and what he talked about. We already run one of the clips, but just want to see if anything stands out to you in this part of his post-pick news conference.
Made a very favorable impression in terms of the intangible profile, the person, the character, matched with the physical ability and the physical traits.
So he's a good dude, and he has traits.
Once again, character. It's one of those things that is on the Texans checklist of players. And I get it, in today's day and era, you got to make sure you don't go out and shoot yourself in the foot by drafting a guy that's going to get suspended because he does dumb stuff off the field. But the Texans can't get away from, we got to have a good guy. We got to have a high character guy, and they have to play good football. It's always got to be in there. It's always in the background. It's always getting mentioned. Like, just draft football players. That's all I really want you to do at this point. Just draft on ability. Now, if they're a scumbag, if they're an a-hole, Right. Okay, I get that. But you don't have to draft every guy. Doesn't have to be a choir boy. Every guy doesn't have to, you know, started as a pizza man and now I'm here kind of J.J. Watt kind of thing. Like, just draft football players. If they got some questionable stuff in their past that's not awful, maybe they, you know, smoked a little reefer, as the old folks would say. Okay, who cares? But that's not what I'm upset about. I just noticed that. I was like, of course, we're going to have to mention his character as part of the whole deal because it's the Texans.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised. I would love to hear every GM's post-draft conference and see how many of them mentioned character as part of, well, he was a high character guy. He was a great, we loved his character. His character was really good. He's got a good character. His character is solid. I'd love to see how many mention it.
So here was the ESPN breakdown on Titus Howard. He's a good blend of size, length, and athletic ability. Tough to beat when his hand placement is sound in pass protection. And he held his own against Auburn early in the 2018 season. He flashes the ability to move defenders off the ball in the run game. He has the potential to develop into an effective zone blocker.
Sweet. 23rd best player in the NFL has the potential to develop.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know who has the potential to develop? Guys in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and 6th, and 7th round. Not the 23rd best player on the planet that you're picking to go play in the pros to protect your franchise quarterback.
Backups and special teamers is basically mid-4th and on. But when you're drafting in the first 3.5 rounds, you're drafting for guys that are either going to compete for or start.
You had 54 and 55, and I guarantee you Titus Howard would have been available to get.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, the good thing is they're not alone. You have several other teams that you can point fingers at, like the Raiders and the Giants.
The Raiders got killed. Your Packers got killed.
Did they get killed for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't pleased with the first pick. The second pick where they traded up was better, but at the same time,
they got killed for that Savage pick.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, they had said from a lot of different teams' perspective, including on both broadcasts last night, that he was a guy that was climbing because of what they had seen at his workouts and everything else. So we'll see. Gary is a guy that I've heard nothing but all the tools, similar to Titus Howard, all the tools, best high school player in the nation, has underachieved at Michigan. Yay, super. I'm giddy. Okay, you know, it's the same thing. And if you're Gettleman or Mike Mayock, you just took a whole lot of heat off of Brian Gain.
Boy, that fourth pick in the draft for Mayock and crew.
And the Giants at, what, was 6 or 7?
Farrell at 4 was like, okay.
6, yeah.
Yeah. Daniel Jones at 6.
Daniel Jones you could have had at 17. You might have been able to have him in the second round.
Somebody tweeted out, they were like, boy, you know it's bad when the first thing that the draft coverage mentions is that all your sisters are athletes. It's the first thing they did on ESPN. And with the 6th pick in the NFL draft, the Giants select Daniel Jones, quarterback of Duke. His sister plays squash. What? That's what you led with?
And what? And, you know what? And to hear Gettleman's press conference when he goes, quarterback. I stayed. I wasn't. First of all, he says, I wasn't going to stay for the game itself at the Senior Bowl. Then I stayed. And after 3 series, I knew he was a professional quarterback. I'm going 3 series. What, you Brock Osweiler'd it with Rick Smith? You took the small sample size and went, there's our guy.
Oh,
got to go that route.
Gosh, you know the route you got to go if you want cash back in your pocket. You got to go that Get Upside route. Get Upside is a completely free app that gets you cash back in your pocket every time you use it. It's so easy to use. No catches, no strings attached. I've been using it. My wife uses it. Nick uses it. AJ. A lot of people at the station, a lot of listeners out there have been telling me they've started jumping on board. I got family that heard the show and start using GetUpside. No reason for you not to get on board here. When you download it from your app store, which, I, again, is completely free to download, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up. GetUpside gets you cash back when you fill up or when you eat out. It's that simple. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon. At over 500 gas stations around the city of Houston, you can get up to 35% cash back when you eat out. Dude, imagine that. You go to Popeyes on Monday, and you can get up to 35% back. You go to Wendy's on Tuesday, up to 35% back. Go to Burger King on Wednesday, up to 35% back. Go to Cyclone Anaya's on Thursday, 35%, and Candelaria's on Friday. You could get every day, you could be getting up to 35% cash back when you eat out. That's a ton of savings, and that's money in your pocket. Don't leave it at the table. Don't leave it at the pump. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I want you to get that extra savings on your first fill up. Get that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Half hour in, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FBI Friday. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be. Round one of the NFL draft is what we were kicking around first and foremost. Pro Football Talk reporting, multiple sources saying Dolphins are close to a deal for quarterback Josh Rosen. Mm. That deal may actually be tentatively done. Arizona would receive the number 48 pick tonight from Miami for Rosen.
Okay.
Which makes sense, because I heard some of these guys last night saying, well, it'd be fine if they could just have him compete for the job. Just have you didn't draft Kyler Murray to compete for anything. He is your dude. And Rosen already knows that he's the odd man out. And they obviously didn't have enough confidence in him in the first place that they went to get Kyler Murray, that he'd rather just be somewhere else anyway. So you know he's not just going to be a good soldier and come into the quarterback room every day and be Mr. Cooperative.
Yeah.
Plus, they said already he's got attitude, entitlement. His whole demeanor ever since he was drafted was like that. You just got to get him away.
Oof. Yeah, you don't want that. That's a low-character guy.
But it was a big story this morning that he dropped the Cardinals from his Twitter, following them on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, Jesus.
That's mean. Oof, he's savage.
Out here hurting feelings.
Good Lord. That's top-breaking stories on other channels.
Was there anything else that surprised you in the draft?
Oh, there were several things. I mean obviously, we talked a little bit about it, but
Raiders.
The Giants, what they did. The Raiders, what they did. I think if you're the Washington Redskins, you lucked out. I mean, whether it was Dan Snyder or not, the fact that you did have the quarterback that you were supposedly willing to trade up to get fall right into your lap.
Yep.
And you got him with a chip on his shoulder, because when you interviewed, I loved it. I loved the fact that he said there's a whole lot of teams in the NFL that are going to pay for what they did. Mm. And he's going to play against the Giants twice a year in the same division. So Washington lucks out, and they get that top quarterback that they needed to fall into their lap. And then they get Sweat, who a lot of people said you saw what he tested out in the combine as a D lineman, 4.3 40, something like that. The fastest time ever for a D lineman. Now, they said there were character issues.
Who?
But, was it Montrez Sweat?
Okay.
From Mississippi State?
Mm-hmm.
And he tested out fantastically, but they said there were character issues. But they trade back into the first round late in the 20s. They get a guy that they need. They lost one of their best pass rushers to Green Bay in free agency, so now they got a guy on the defensive side of the ball. They got Haskins as a quarterback. Thought the Redskins did very, very well.
Yeah, I do too. I like the Dwayne Haskins pick. They didn't have to move up to get him. They were worried that they would. I tell you, though, I feel like Jacksonville got really good value with Josh Allen at 7. And Buffalo probably got the best value in the first round. Big Ed Oliver going 9th. A lot of people think that guy is, there was talk he should have been the first pick in the draft for a really long time, or top 2, top 3. And you got him at 9 and you didn't have to move up to get him. Good for Buffalo. I mean, I think they got themselves a hell of a player.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of A-pluses passed out that I saw on the sources that I used, and they were one of them. They were definitely.
And the other thing was is that that was one of the guys that they said the Giants should have taken, and they still would have had Daniel Jones at 17.
Yeah, yeah, that's.
And even though the Giants traded back into the late 20s of the first round and ended up with three picks in the first round, the order in which they took the picks, much like with the Raiders, made everybody start scratching their temple because you could have had guys without having to give up picks and make trades if you just would have reordered the way you took positions.
Yeah, I don't think the Raiders, that the first pick was really questionable. I think their picks later in the second round were a little better. They're more in line. I don't mind the Josh Jacobs pick. That's probably, you know, I mean, there's people differ on should you take a running back in the first round or not. But
yeah, I mean,
you got safety help and Jonathan Abram. You got running back help. And they just probably, and it's not like the guy, Farrell, that they grabbed, it just was too early. It's not that he's not a good player.
I mean, Clelin Ferrell, is, they said, was a really good edge rusher, but because of all the grades and all the boards, could have had, yeah, you're absolutely right. Could have had Ed Oliver. You could have had, like you said, you could have had Josh Allen. You could have had, you know, Devin White.
Yeah.
Who a lot of people say pound for pound might be the best overall player in the draft from LSU.
If they take Josh Allen, if they take Ed Oliver at that four spot, their first round with those three picks, outstanding.
Nobody's criticizing them.
But I think they just took Clelin Ferrell a little too early, and people are like, bro, what were you doing? You really could have had him at the back end of the first round if you wanted him, probably. So
rumors were true. Kudos to the Steelers for moving up to address a need. And they got Devin Bush from Michigan, the inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. They said he really helps to kind of fill the void that they've never filled since Ryan Shazier got hurt. So that was a good move by the Steelers to move up. The Broncos, I don't get it, continued to trade back and trade back. Then they took Noah Fant, the tight end, at 20, but didn't address needing a quarterback for the future. So, I mean, I don't know. You said you didn't hear good things from your guys about Darnell Savage. I had other people that were hitting me up saying that this guy was just an unbelievable steal of a pick where they got him at 21.
Well, he's one of the things that they said is, you know, he does play well. He can play all over the field and he's fast. But I think that the reason that I saw was you probably could have got him in the second round if that's who you were targeting. That there were probably better players on the board that could have serviced a need. And you could have probably gotten Darnell Savage somewhere in the second round if you really had an eye on him.
And fair enough. I mean, the thing that I would say in terms of wins and losses, and I don't know where your guy had the Eagles, but the fact that the Eagles were able to slide into the 22 spot and pick Andre Dillard, who most people would tell you of all the tackles available, he was the franchise type tackle that should have been taken, and he was one pick away from your Houston Texans. Kudos to the Eagles, and shame on you Texans for not being prepared for
but
this is Mark, this is Daryl Morey, Mark Cuban all over again with Royce White in that whole draft, thinking that their guy was going to fall into their lap because the team before them, the Mavs, weren't going to take who they wanted, and then Cuban made a trade with the Cavs, and Cuban said, I told you I wasn't going to take him. I didn't tell you I wasn't going to trade the pick. And you learn a valuable lesson in how the draft works.
Yeah.
Positioning.
Let's see. The Texans got Vikinged by the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it happened. But
It really truly was.
Patrick has a question for us on the Packers draft. Do you want to take that?
Patrick, what's up?
If we're talking Packers.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long time no talk. How you doing, man? I love your show, as always.
Appreciate that. What's up, man?
So, as Joel, as a Packers fan, I'm curious what you think about your draft pick, and I'm curious if you think a few things. One, are you drafting to combat the Bears, my team? And also, are you trying to? Do you think you're going to pick up a quarterback to eventually replace Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I think from an overall draft perspective, and Barry and I touched on it a little bit in the first segment, but I'm not a huge fan by any stretch of the imagination on Rashawn Gary. Lance had him going middle of the first round to Carolina in and around 16. So the Packers getting him at 12, I'm not sure that I thought it was a little bit of a stretch. You know, we just went back and forth on the fact that I think that Darnell Savage is a guy that a lot of people thought it was, you know, a guy that brought both speed and a big hitting capabilities at the safety position. Look, I mean, we took your best safety. We took Amos and signed him in free agency. So from the Bears. So I don't know if they're drafting for depth there. I don't see them taking a quarterback. I think they're trying to win now. I think the new GM, Gutekunst, is really focused on the next 3 to 4 years, trying to maximize the last 4 or 5 years with Rodgers, and then they go from there. So
okay,
we'll see.
Well, I tell you what, I think that the Texans, this second round to me is going to be critical for them.
Yeah, if they can, key.
I saw a mock that had them getting Dalton Reisner at 54 and then picking up a cornerback at 55. If they can do that, and I saw Sean Bunting, if there's a way or they get lucky and one of the better, you know, cornerbacks in the draft falls to them, that'll make up for the reach in the first round. But I think that it has to be addressed. But I think 54 and 55, if they do get another offensive lineman and a cornerback, that would be good for them. I think that that would be the right strategy for this team right now.
And you and I talked about it already. I mean, the fact that Juwan Taylor's still out there, damaged goods or not, unless it's career-threatening, go get him.
Yeah.
Right? So you have, like you mentioned, you have some extra picks. If you want to go get a Cody Ford from Oklahoma, or, you know, there are guys out there that fit the bill of what you're looking for from a secondary perspective. You got several top corners that have fallen to the second round. So you're right. I think it's very key what they do tonight in second and third round to see what they can do to salvage the draft going forward.
Yep.
So we've got plenty more to get to. We'll talk a little Astros. Rockets are probably boarding a plane right now to head to Oakland to figure out who they're playing. And lots more to talk about. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number one, 3 hour show. You know how to reach us. We always tell you Twitter handles are as follows: at Barry is funny, at Pac Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. Since I haven't gotten that out of my mouth for you guys today yet, there's the info that you didn't have. Otherwise, you know the HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number. Fellas, before we get to the any more draft.
Well, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
No.
Or the Astros or anything else. I was driving home last night.
Uh-huh.
We had said that the NFL, or at least the information from the authorities about NFL receiver Tyreek Hill was that the information was inconclusive. They couldn't prove who did what to his 3-year-old son at the time, mm-hmm. so that no charges would be filed. So a lot of people thought for that reason and that reason alone that it was going to go away. Little did we know that there was audio, and it was soon to come out after we got off the air. And oh, if this guy plays, if any of this comes to be true, or even close to true, this dude, in my opinion, should never play another down in the NFL, and he deserves a whole lot of punishment.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
It's not good. I feel like the concern is that these investigations that take place, you wonder how thorough are they? What if it was like, okay, we're not going to go any further with this, then this audio comes to light. How thorough was the investigation? The audio doesn't sound good. I mean, there's parts where he threatens his girlfriend, or is it his wife?
It's a fiance.
Fiance. So it's bad. Like, we have it, Nick. Play some of this audio, because it's not good to hear Tyreek Hill say stuff like this.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. Me. It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me, too. Dumb.
Because we were getting into it, and he said, Daddy, you're me. So we walked up the stairs.
Right?
You
and then
said, come back down here.
Right.
And he didn't want to go down there. But right. I was like, go down there
right.
because it'll end up worse for you.
Right.
So he walked down there, and then you were getting on his about.
And then you said something, right?
No, you kept getting on. And then he started crying. And then you were like, shut up, stop crying.
Right.
Stop crying.
Right.
And then he kept crying because he was scared. He's terrified and what you grabbed onto him somehow, or he fell, one of the two.
I didn't do nothing. That's sad, bro. That is really sad.
Then
bro.
Why does say daddy did it? Why? Why does say daddy did it?
I don't know. He says daddy does a lot of things.
Like what? A 3-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm.
If you don't know, his 3-year-old son has a broken arm. Within the story, it also came out that she said that he likes to tell him to open up his arms, and then he punches him in the 3-year-old in the chest as hard as he can.
The part that is telling to me of all that is you need to be scared of me too, bitch.
Yep.
When you say that to a woman, I'm sorry, that's all the evidence I need. That is all the evidence. There is no way that thought would ever even pop into my mind to say that to my wife.
But
even if I do whip my kids or punish them, like, remember the Adrian Peterson case where he would use a switch? Look, there's a lot of mamas in this world and daddies that would use a switch. That's just the way that they would spank their kids. But there's a whole different level if you add some sort of, you know, punishment for a child to, well, he's scared of you. Well, you need to be scared of me too, bitch. Like, that's just too far.
And I think to a certain extent, she kind of knew that. We always talk about why women don't speak out and how hard it is for them to speak out when something like this happens. There's also two things I don't think we mentioned. Number one, she's the one who actually recorded this audio. Mm-hmm. And she gave it to a friend because she was worried that Tyreek would get his hands on it. It eventually got to that TV station and became an exclusive. So I think that's the first thing. So she obviously has her suspicion about the guy. Otherwise, she wouldn't record the conversation. And that's probably why we got poor audio quality, because she's probably just recording it on her phone.
Right.
You know, and so I think the other thing is she even said in another clip that she wrote, quote unquote, rode for him.
Yep.
Meaning she covered for him against the cops, against Child Protective Services. The child has not been in their custody for at least 2 or 3 weeks. And so that's just a bad situation all around for Tyreek, for the fiance, and then for the kid who can't be with his parents.
That's where I'm going with this. And Barry, you mentioned about how bad it is the way he's treating the fiance. And I believe she is or was at the time of the recording pregnant, the way he was treating her. But the top priority in this whole thing for me is a 3-year-old who can't defend himself, who is not mature enough to be thinking about solutions and escape routes and everything else. This kid has obviously taken a great deal of punishment, including a broken arm, including, if this is true, punches to the chest. The fact that she's covering for him, as you mentioned, Nick, because I was going to go to the road, she rode for him. And if she's covering for him, you got to believe it's only from a financial aspect so that he continues to bring the money in with the Chiefs too, and so that everybody's okay as a family. That's not an okay family. That's a ton of issues that need to be rectified, and there's a whole lot of people that need help. And for him to go, or for her to go along with all of that, and the fact that, and she's covering for him, and in the process, she's putting that child in danger of possibly losing his life.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that after the it came out that they declined to file charges against him, this audio comes out. And he had released a statement before the audio breaks. And this was his statement. My son's health and happiness is my number one priority. I want to thank the Kansas City Chiefs, my attorneys, my agent, and my union for supporting me through this. My focus remains on working hard to be the best person for my family and our community I can be, and the best player to help our team win. How are you going to work on being the best person you can be when you tell your wife that she, or fiance, that she should be scared of you? What that doesn't make, that's the real you. That's not a press release that someone wrote for you. That's not you trying to put your best face forward in front of the camera to make yourself look good because you just dodged a bullet by having the charges dropped because they didn't hear stuff like this. That's you. That's the real you, Tyreek Hill. You're a scumbag.
Yep.
You told your wife you should be scared of me, bro.
And again, I'll go back to the kid side of this too. For everything that she said when she said, he's afraid of you. Yep. And he just kept going, yep, yep.
God.
You know what? Like, that's a good thing. No, it's not.
It's the real him. I mean, that's where you see whether that was an illegal wiretap or whatever it is and can't be used in court. It doesn't matter. That's the real Tyreek Hill, and he shouldn't be playing football if that's him.
He shouldn't.
That's awful.
He shouldn't be a free man either if he did that.
If he's punching his kid in the chest, right. A 3-year-old.
And broke his arm?
I hated open chest when I was in high school. Man, you're three and you're punching me. I'm three and you punch me in the
chest. That's right. You brought it up. Yeah.
God bless.
I mean, that is just, that is absolutely deplorable.
It really is. It really is.
So,
it's sad. But he has had issues in the past, has he not?
Yes. I think it was either prior to the draft or right after he was signed by the Chiefs.
He's not a choir boy to begin with.
Nope.
So, and now, but this is that fine line where you don't want.
I was going to say, the Texans aren't signing him either.
You don't want to hear as a leading check mark on the reason why a guy got drafted is character issues. But you thank God in a certain way that the Texans aren't however like, well, he's good. We'll take this child-beating guy. It's a fine line.
And the Chiefs organization, not a good look, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill.
No, not a good look at all.
Ugh, yikes. All right, so that covers a little bit more NFL news before we hit the top of the hour. We've still got 2 hours to go in the show. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, we take your calls, your texts, and your tweets.
I have something about the Rockets game. Not the particulars, but something that Nick and I discussed at the game that I wanted to bring up that we didn't mention following their win against their closeout win versus the Jazz.
There you go. All that and more coming up next on the second hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.